Let's get started. We are holding on. Yeah, we're holding on Kuftes on the days just past the middle of the onward, the two dots, a line between the Nisturinians. Kuftes on the days. Line begins Nisturinun. Line begins Nisturinun, and we're holding by and we're holding by two dots at the end of line. Okay. So we learned in the Mishnah, the general rule was like this. We said if you have a food that healthy people eat, then you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos, even though it also has healing properties, therapeutic properties. Or if it's the kind of thing that normal people don't eat, then you're not allowed to. Obviously, unless we're talking about chola, shiash besakana, or whatever. So the Mishnah had said, for example, you're allowed to eat yezer, which we talked about yesterday, is some kind of plant that a person would eat if they have worms in their liver. And we said in the Mishnah, v'shoisa abuvroya, you're allowed on Shabbos to drink abuvroya. So my abuvroya, so the answer is chumtalia. It's what's called in Aramaic chumtalia. My chumtalia, yeah, how does that help us? We still don't know what that is. The answer is chutri yechida. It means a kind of tree that grows just a trunk, no branches. So it's a specific kind of tree that they knew of in those days. I'm sure it still exists nowadays, but whatever. Anyway, lamai abula, what do people use that for? We're saying in the Mishnah that it has medicinal properties. So what is it used for? It's used legiluya. If a person drank wine or water or what have you that was left uncovered, where there's a concern throughout Shas that a snake might have drunk from it, so you might have drunk some venom from it. So this abuvroya helps against that. The eloy, and if not, meaning if you tried it and it didn't work, or if you didn't have abuvroya available, leisi chamisha klili, then you should take 5 roses. And 5 cups of beer, boil them up together, until you boil it down to an anapka, which is a revis. So in other words, you started out with five cups of beer, because each cup is a revis, plus the 5 roses, and you boil it down until you have this very, very concentrated liquid where, you know, most of the water has boiled away, and all you're left basically is a very thick essence. Vinishte, and then you drink that.
What a waste of beer.
but I guess if the alternative is that the person might get killed because of the giluya, then it's worthwhile. Right. So the Gemara gives an example. The mother of Rabbi Chadboy Ba'ami made one time for a certain person who was in this situation. She used 1 rose and 1 cup of beer. So now that wouldn't be enough. But Shoka, she boiled them up together. Vashpise, then she gave them to drink. But then she did something else as well in order to make it more effective. The Shogra Tanura, she heated up the oven, she fired up the oven, the grafte, and then she raked out all the coals so that the bottom of the, so the inside of the oven is still very hot, but there's no actual live coals for him to step on. Then she put a brick in the inside the oven, so that now the guy should now sit inside the oven, but you don't want him to get burnt. You don't want him to be like my ukra in that story over there. So it's therefore the brick. So this way he could stand on the brick and his feet won't get burnt. But in other words, this way, hello, good morning, Adelaide. This way the heat of the oven will make the concoction that he just drank more potent. Kuf Tesla Bay is rolling about 2/3 of the way down the onward. A regular kind of oven that they had in the time of the Gemara, which looked basically like an overturned cup. Without a top. Yeah.
It must be a very big oven.
The ovens in those times often were quite large. Yeah, you have in the story of Ma'ukva, for example, with the secret tzedakah, where a person could hide inside such an oven. Yeah. So the nafa kahutza yalka, and it worked, and the poison or whatever it is that was inside him came out like a green palm leaf. I mean, it came out a huge amount of vomit or whatever, and the combination of the mixture of the rose and the beer plus the heat of the oven helped get out the poison from him.
came out from the different end, came out from the mouth.
It came out from the end, mouth, fine, but at least it came out here. Okay. Rav Ivya says another thing you can use when you have this problem of Giluya, you can drink a revius of wine, not wine, a revius of milk from a white goat. Rav Huna by Yehuda Amar, here's another one. Lasi esrog chalisa, take a sweet esrog, make a hole, carve out a hole in the esrog, the limliya dovsha, fill out the carving with honey, the loisvig de milli denura, put it on the coals that are in the oven in order that this way the esrog and the honey get cooked together, the loichle, and then you eat it, and that'll also be effective.
First part, I understand that. Have you ever heard of a sweet esrog?
I've never heard of a sweet esrog either, but sweet. No, just the idea is there are many different varieties of asparagus out there, and I guess some of them have sweeter. I guess some of them have sweeter pulp, or sweeter, or is it a sweeter rind than others? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Yeah. Okay. Rav Chanina Omer Meiraglayim Bnei Aborim. Rav Chanina says here's another one you can use the pashtus. You drink Meiraglayim urine that is at least 40 days old, or Rashi says another explanation from a 40 day old baby. Either way, that kind of thing. So barzina, a tiny amount, a very small cup called a barzina of it is enough. Lizibura is enough to if you got stung by a bee or by wasp rather. Rashi just says barzina is a very small cup. The aruch it brings over here on the side. The aruch says that's 1/32 of a revius. So, 1/8 of a revius, 1/32 of a log. The revius being about 3 ounces, then 1/8 of that would be like less than half an ounce. Anyway, so that's good to take, or maybe to pour it on the area. I don't know. If a person was stung by a wasp, revia la'akva, a larger amount, a quarter of a revius would be if you were stung by a scorpion. Palga riva ligiluya, a half of a lug would be you would drink or you would apply or whatever. If a person drank giluya, uncovered wine or water or whatever that a snake drank from. Riva, and if a person drinks a full lug of it, afilu l'kshof in malu, it's effective even if he was harmed by kishuf, then drinking a riva, which means a lug of this urine, b'nei aboyim yoyim, will be effective to get rid of that. I don't know, maybe what it is after drinking that, the person would rather they had the trough. I don't know. Anyway, okay. Rav Yechanan. So Rav Yechanan says, here's another one. Anigroin, which we learned about anigroin in brachas. It's water in which beets, water in which beets were cooked. The avangar and water in which avangar, which is a bangari, Yashi says, a kind of herb named bangari, was soaked, and the tiriyaka. And tiriyaka, Rashi translates tiriyaka as Rashi translates tiriyaka as tsori, which is balsam. Other Rishonim say there was a concoction that they had in those days called tiriyak, it's called in English, the Rambam refers to it a couple of times. It was a mixture of various kinds of herbs and medicinal things and whatever, which was supposed to be very effective in particular against snake bites and against all kinds of other problems. Anyway, so those kinds of things, Rabbi Yechanan says, malu ben giluya ben lekshofen, those kinds of things are effective in healing a person, whether there was a problem of giluya, that they drank a liquid in which a snake might have injected venom, or kshofim, either way, you take any of these things, a nigrin, or a banger, or a teriyaka, then that'll help against that. Okay. Since we talk about drinking things that a snake might have injected venom in, let's talk about what happens if a person swallows an actual snake. And I remember, actually, the first time around we learned this 7.5 years ago, we were sitting over there in Yad Gotora, and I was wondering, how would a person accidentally swallow a snake? Pinchas had his grandson there with him. Pinchas not on the phone now, but he had his grandson with him, and his grandson said maybe the guy was eating a plate of spaghetti and the snake was inside it. Anyway, so hi man de bolachiv, you have a person swallowed a snake, loichle kshus of a milcha, what you should do is give him to eat kshus in salt. We learned yesterday that kshus is a kind of parasitic plant that grows on thorn bushes or whatever, and they use it in making beer. So mix some of that with salt, so, and make him eat it. The lir hate tloss a mili, and make him run 3 mil. So the Gemara gives an example of when that treatment was actually used. Rav Shimi bar Ashi chazilah who gathered the bolach chivya. Rav Shimi bar Ashi one time saw a person do that, swallow a snake. idmi leka parsha. So Rav Shimon bar Ashi pretended to be like a nobleman on horseback, the kind of thing where if someone like that orders you to go start running or to go start doing such and such, you're going to have to do it because he's on horseback and he's more powerful than you. So he pretended to be that. He forced the guy to eat trus in salt. Evidently, maybe the guy didn't know that he'd swallowed the snake, maybe he didn't know this was going to be effective, whatever it is. So Rav Shimon bar Ashi had to force him to do it, to eat the trus with salt. But I had to come in plus a milli, and he made him run 3 mil in front of him. The nafik made a govi govi, and sure enough, the snake came out of him in pieces, meaning between the trus and the fear and the running, that weakened him and and heated his body up so much that it killed the snake, and now it came out of him, and now when it came out, either he threw it up or he excreted it or whatever the case may be, in pieces. So sure enough the treatment saved him. Ikadamri, another version of it goes, Rav Shimon bar Ashi, the other version is Rav Shimon bar Ashi himself was in that situation where he swallowed the snake. Also, Eliyahu in relate to parasha, and according to that, Eliyahu now became and appeared to him like a horseman. And came out in pieces. Again, as we talked about yesterday in particular, all these cures that we have in the Gemara, we don't do nowadays. I mean, I don't think I've heard anybody nowadays who swallowed a snake anyway, but whatever. We know that we don't, with one exception, something that we learned at the end of the sixth parak, we know it's brought in Ma'aril, that we don't use any of these cures nowadays because we don't know necessarily what the ingredients are and because there may be other details that aren't mentioned in the Gemara and so on and so forth. And the Ma'aril says that if a person uses them, he might and finds they don't work, he might mistakenly think, okay, if the Chacham didn't know what they're talking about with that, then they don't know what they're talking about with other things as well, and it'll lead him to Kriya. So we don't do them, but we still learn them in the Gemara, and obviously there's deeper Sodas HaTorah in them. I've found little to nothing in the Mephoshim, unlike, this is all brought in Ein Yaakov, but there's very little, if anything, in the Mephoshim about what these things mean beyond explaining the words and then, not really anything about explaining the deeper ideas behind them. I mean, one thing I guess we can say, we know that the Nachash represents Nachash HaKadmoni, the Yetzirah, so for Pashtus, I guess we would have to say that this Gemara is talking about a case where a person has internalized something of the Yetzirah, and we need to get it out of him.
These schools don't tell you after that, but at the same time,
they don't specifically mention it, no, but they don't specifically mention it.
Say you have to believe in them, things like
that. I guess not, I don't know. Doesn't say you have to daven or believe in them or whatever, yeah, that's true. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. You could have the trus is a parasitic plant, so maybe it's meant to remind you that listen, the Yetzirah itself is also a parasitic thing, right? It feeds off Yusha, so don't swallow the snake and make sure you don't and then yeah, I don't know. Okay. Onward. Haiman de Tauke Chivya, if a person was bitten by a snake, Lesi Ubra de Chamra Chivarta, take the fetus, the embryo of a white donkey, velikare, and tear open the fetus, veloisve ilave, and then put that torn up fetus on top of the wound or on top of the person, and that'll heal. The hanimili delay shtakach trefa. However, that only works if the mother was not found to be trefa. The mother donkey. And obviously, donkeys are non-kosher animals anyway, but you still have the various diseases and conditions and whatever that can make an animal trefa. So if the mother had any of those conditions, then this isn't going to work. So the Gemara tells, Hahu bar kasha de Pumbedissa. There was a certain bar kasha in Pumbedissa. Bar kasha says, Mimunul Melech. He was somebody appointed by the king in Pumbedissa. So he could have been the mayor, he could have been the chief of police, he could have been whatever. At any rate, he was a yid. The Tauke Chivya, he one time was bitten by a snake. Have a tlesa chamre chivarta before Medissa. There were 13 white donkeys in Medissa. Karinu lakulu, so they wanted to save them. They started ripping open one after the other. The pashtus, it means that you take out the fetus. The pashtus means that you extract the fetus and rip it open. So it means, in other words, it means that there were a number of them that were pregnant. So they tried that. Even if it was the mother, I mean, it's a matter of pikuach nefesh. So tzar ba'al chayim is not relevant, but yeah. Whatever the case, whatever the case, Karinu Lakulu, they started one by one ripping them open, the Ishtachu Trefa, but each one they found the mother was Trefa. Yeah, probably, maybe it does mean that they have to rip open the mother, I don't know, because otherwise, why couldn't they discover it's Trefa while, I don't know, whatever. Okay. Whatever the case, each one, as they took the baby and as they took the fetus, and were trying to do this, they found the mother was trefa, and therefore it's not going to work. Havoi chodabahu gitzad pumadisa. There was one more. By the way, 13 over here doesn't always mean literally 13. It means some indefinitely large number. Havoi chodabahu gitzad pumadisa. There was another one on the other side of pumadisa, so they went to get it. Ad asli maisila. By the time they went to get it, ochla arye, a lion had eaten that donkey. Abaya says something very unusual is going on over here. Maybe what it is the snake that bit him wasn't just Stama snake, it was a snake that he got as a punishment for going against something that the Chachamim said. Then there's no cure for it unless he does Shuvah. The passage says someone who breaks open a fence, a snake should bite him. You actually have an expression in the Gemara in Erevin that says Kol Oivral Dibre Chachamim Chayev Misa. A person who violates the words of the Chachamim is Chayev Misa. There's an explanation from it from Rishonim, and it from Rishonim, I think from Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm not sure that the idea is a person is over on something from a person is something is over on something Daraisa. Okay, he had a Yetzahara, he had a type for it. But if a person is over on something Darabanan, then it shows he doesn't respect the authority of the Chachamim to tell us what we need to do, which means basically he doesn't accept Torah Shabbat, he doesn't accept the whole Masorah of Torah at all, and that's a much more serious thing. Anyway, so therefore, and Tosfos points out the fact that you had, if they couldn't find the cure, if let's say there were no white donkeys in the whole city, okay, Nela, there could have been many other reasons why he was bitten by a snake. But now that you had all of those, and each one of them turned out to be Trefa, and the last one was eaten by a lion, then that means there's something more unusual going on over here. Especially Ben Yehoyada points out the fact that the last one was eaten by a lion. A lion is a metaphor for a Talmud Chacham. So it represents that he had gone against the Talmud Chacham. Amrulay ain Rebbe. And they said to Abaye, yes indeed, Rebbe, this person did do that. What happened? Kinoch nafshe de Rav, when Rav passed away, Gozer of Yitzchak bar Bisna, Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna was one of the great Chachamim of that time, made a Gzera, Deleka delintie osava gidmi lebehi lula betavla. That they should reduce their amount of simcha. So when you like this, when you have a chasana, they used to bring hadasim and palm branches. Also means hadasim. Gidmi means palm branches. Lebehi lula to a wedding, they would bring them betavla. They would bring them with the accompaniment of music from a tambourine, a drum with bells on it. So like a tambourine or something similar. That was the way they used to do it. And Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna made the Gzera after Rav passed away that they shouldn't do that. They can bring the hadassim and the palm leaves, but not with the accompaniment of the tabla music.
No music at all? Or?
The Pashas, it means no music at all. Maybe it means not music of a tabla particularly. Whatever. It doesn't mean there wouldn't be music by the wedding. It just means there wouldn't be music as they're bringing the hadassim and the palm. But also give me the baby roll of a tabla. This guy went and violated that and brought the hadassim and the palm leaves to the wedding with the accompaniment of a tabla. So sure enough, Tarek Yechivio missed. That's why the snake bit him and he died, because he was overall Dibri Chacham. Yeah. An interesting thing, if you ever go to a chasana in Yerushalayim, you will see that they don't have musical instruments over there. Just like one drum or something, yeah. So the genesis of that goes back a couple hundred years. So like sometime in the mid 1800s, there was a where one of the rabbanim of Yerushalayim that time was named the Imre Bina, Rameyer from Kalish, I think, or something, made this zera. Actually, I saw a short essay on it. Apparently, it was a minhag in other places in Eretz Yisrael, and he extended it to Yerushalayim as well. So somebody asked Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who was also later on the Rav of Yerushalayim, about this. Like, is it really right that you're not to have music by a chasana? What happened to me in Sameach Chasin Bekala, etc. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim answers him, you know, look at all Gemara over here, where because Rav passed away, then they said they want to reduce the amount of simcha at a wedding. How much more so? We're living in Yerushalayim, and we have the Churban right in front of us, that we should be machmer on that. That's the source for that, yeah.
It happens to be that the weddings are pretty levitic.
The weddings are pretty levitic, obviously, also. But I saw a couple of... in another place outside Yerushalayim. Right. Of course, they do it. In Yerushalayim itself, there's a couple of reasons. There's a couple of reasons given. There was a popular story that it had to do with there was a magefa in Yerushalayim in the 1860s, but they found that there's no validity to that. So the real reason is either because there was a problem of tarugus that men and women are getting too close together when there's music being played, or like this that it's in memory of the korban, or b'chalal that it was a more general minhag in other places in Eretz Yisrael, and they may have been extended at Yerushalayim. All right. Anyway, let's go on. Haiman de karche chivya. If a person is wrapped up by a snake, like you have certain kinds of snakes, like boa constrictors or whatever, that will wrap around the person and then try to squeeze them. Linchos lamaya. What the person should do is go down into the water. The lischa dikula areshe. Put a basket. Over the head of the snake, above the head of the snake, the lahab kemine, then what you do is you bring down the basket a little bit tightly into some area between the snake and the person's flesh. In other words, you don't want to just pull off the snake because then it may bite the person. So what you do is you maneuver the basket a little bit, starting from over the snake's head so that it goes, so a little bit of it goes between the snake and you. Like you pull off the snake a tiny bit from you and stick a corner of the basket in there, basically. And then as the snake now starts crawling onto the basket, then now take the basket with the snake on it and throw it into the water, and then get out of the water. And get out of the water and go on your way.
But he must be in the water with the basket.
The pashtus, the idea is you stay, you go into the water.
Because what he wants to.
Because the snake is probably attracted to water, and then the idea is also like this: you lure it away with the basket, basically. Like this is more interested, and they'll be more interested.
Does everybody have a basket when they come to bite
you? If you don't have a basket, then I guess you might be in trouble. Yeah. Again, I mean, there is obviously ruchniistic meanings in this as well, but what they are, I don't really know.
There were a lot of snakes
around. Haiman de Mikniye Bechivya. Next, what happens if a person finds that a snake is angry at him and is chasing after him and following him? Mikni meaning literally means like he's jealous of him, like Keokano Venoitim, for example. So it depends. If the person has if the person who's being threatened like that has a friend with him, Lukabe Arba Gamidi, then what he should do is ask his friend to put him on his shoulders for 4 amos. And that way, that'll break the trail. That'll break the trail, right? Because then, if you're not walking on the ground, then the snake, for 4 amos. So that'll be enough to break the, now the snake won't be able to smell you and your footsteps, and therefore you'll be safe. The Eloi, and if you don't have a friend with you, Lishaber Nagra, then jump over a canal. Same idea, in other words. The Eloi, and if you don't have a canal available, La'ever Nagra, then cross the river. The Rashash asks it on the face of it, crossing a river should be more effective than jumping over a canal, because the water should certainly wash away your smells. And he explains that the Shaber Nagra says means basically take wide steps, and if you're not able to take wide steps, then cross the river. Leoya, if it's at night, Then, that's all during the day. Now you still have the snake is after you at night as well. So that night, put your bed on top of 4 barrels. So this way the snake can't easily climb up. And sleep outside under the stars. So this way Rashi explains, because otherwise what happens? The snake might try another method. This is a smart snake we're talking about over here, a smart Yetzirah Dika snake. So he may climb up to the roof and then fall down onto you. So what is that? The barrels under the legs of your bed aren't going to help with that. So therefore, sleep outdoors. So that way, the snake can't do that. The lasik dalad shunvi. Then to get rid of the snake once and for all, you take 4 cats. The lisrino ba'abar kare depuya. Tie them to the 4 legs of the bed. The lace is shafi, then take shafi, which Rashi says just means branches or straws or anything that'll rustle when something walks or crawls on it. The Oruch says specifically it means straw from reeds or whatever, like you have like peels of bamboo or whatever. Anyway, scatter that over the lishtehasim and scatter it around there. You can shama koli, so now what happens is when the snake starts coming towards the bed. He's crawling along those, crawling along those leaves or whatever, and it rustles and makes a noise, and that the cats will realize that it's there. And then the cats will eat the snake. You find in various places in the Gemara that cats are good at eating and getting rid of snakes, and apparently they're immune to the venom. So that'll be that, and then you're rid of the snake. Another case, Hai Itza the Chazya Chivya. Now we were talking about a man. If a woman sees a snake, Velo Yoda Iyoiv Daiti Ilava Iloi, she doesn't know whether the snake wants to get involved with her or not. Rashi says, well, taivas tashmish. You could have, but the snake is interested in being intimate with her. So I guess, you know, the idea is, in other words, that there's a certain vestige of that in later times as well. Where a snake particularly wants what?
It should cut off its arms and legs, put it on the ground, still have the
Yetzirah. Apparently it still has that Yetzirah, yeah. later on in the Masechta, we have the line Shabon Nachash Al Chava, when the Nachash got involved with Chama, he put a Zuama into her, and Rashi actually uses the expression over there that literally means that a Nachash Shiani va'oichal, Shiani Meloshin Nisuin, like so to speak, and, you know, the snake actually was intimate with Chava. Anyway, so over here we're talking the same, so a similar situation. So a woman is in that situation; she doesn't know whether the snake is interested in her that way or not. Whether he has in mind whether he's interested in her like that or not, what she should do is to shalach mono nashadi kamei. She should take off her clothes and throw them down on the ground in front of the snake. If she sees that the snake wraps itself around the clothing, then she knows that now he is interested in her, and therefore, like, he's going for the clothing, which is the next best thing.
For the snake, by the chaba.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the clothing.
This is true.
Yes,
this is true, right. So maybe that's it. Maybe that has to do with it. Right.
Exactly.
Right. But no, maybe there is a connection over there that, like, she should make herself like chaba before they say that's a good point. Actually, yeah. Could be. Anyway, see, if the snake is then wraps itself around her clothing, daite lava, then it shows that now he's interested in her, and therefore, like, he's going for the next best thing, her clothing, since he's not able to go for her herself. If not, then there's no problem, then it means he's not interested in her that way, and then she knows it's no different than any other person who has a snake around. My takanta, now if she sees that the snake is interested in her that way, what should she do? Tishamish kameh, she should have relations with her husband in front of the snake. That way, like, the snake will consider her repulsive and won't be interested in her anymore. Ikadamri, another version goes just the opposite. Kolshikin takif la yitzret. That'll make the snake's yitzahara even worse, watching her. You find by the nachashakadmani, the chava, in fact, that Rashi mentions on the pasuk. He saw Adam and Chava having relations, and that's what got him jealous of them. Yeah.
So why is he the lady?
Because I guess he's more interested in human women than he is in his own kind. I don't know. Given that the Nachash is also a metaphor for the Kodesh Hatruma, yeah, I mean, they're more interested in attacking a Yid than they are in dealing among themselves, right? I mean, they want to be able to take from Kedusha. Anyway, so according to that version, she shouldn't have relations with her husband in front of him. Instead, Tishko Mimazio Mitufra, she should take some of her hair and some of her nails, the Tishdibe, and throw it at the snake, the Tema, and tell the snake, Dishdanana, I am a nidda. Now, she's not literally a nidda, but in other words, the snake won't be interested in her anymore. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea that hair and nails represent, like, the excess. Hair is the excess of the moichin. Nails is the excess of the hands, which can lead, which tumor can feed off them. So maybe that's related to over here, that you're saying that, you know, throw her the hairs and nails. Look, you know, you want to be involved with something of me. Fine, you can have my moistress, but don't get involved with me personally. I don't know. Okay. Another case, Hai Itza de Ayobachivya. What happens if the snake actually enters the woman? In other words, it accomplishes what it wanted to. It actually goes into her in Oisimachim. So what you do is Lifsa, make her stand with legs apart, Velosvuha Tauki Chavisa, have her stand or sit on two barrels, one leg on one and one leg on the other, so to open up the area wide. Velasi Bisya Shmena, Velishti Agumri, take fat meat and put it on the coals, so it makes a very attractive smell. The lacy agna de tachli, then take a bowl of tachli, which is a, we learned yesterday, tachli is an herb, in English it's called cress, it's got a very peppery taste to it, which Tosfos says, the implication is that snakes like it, snakes like it for the flavor or whatever. Anyway, the chamra richsana and fragrant wine, the loisvuhasam, put them over there on the ground under where she's sitting. The litrukinu bahabiyadori, mix the wine and the shachlayim together in order, again, that it makes the smell rise and go toward the snake's nostrils. No, so in other words, there's two separate things, apparently. There's you roast some fat meat in order that this way it'll be attracted by that. And also you mix together shachlayim and wine, which also each of those, the fragrant wine, which those together have a fragrance and those, So you do that. The loisvu, the litrukinu bahabiyadori, the limkit svasa biyada, then she should hold a pair of pliers in her hand, became merach recha, as soon as the snake smells the smell, nothing for us, then he'll come right out. The lishgale, once he comes out, would take him, the lichle ibnura, and burn the snake in fire, di iloi hodu ilava, because if you don't do that, then it's going to come back and try to get involved with her again.
So you wait there.
Well, the point is, the snake will be attracted by all those unfamiliar smells and come out, and then you grab him with the tongs and you go and burn.
So
you're preparing it as fast as possible while she's sitting over there on the barrels. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah Kol Ochlin Chol, we said that you're allowed to eat all kinds of foods on Shabbos as long as they're foods that healthy people eat, and you're allowed to drink any kind of drinks. So Kol Ochlin the Isurim Mai, what else are we coming to include? What's an example of Kol Ochlin that you're allowed to eat, even though it has medicinal properties? For example, you're allowed to eat the spleen of an animal because it's good for your teeth, even though the Gemara tells us in Brachas it's bad for your stomach. And vice versa, you're allowed to eat tarshinin, which is a certain kind of beans, which are good for your stomach, even though they're bad for your teeth. Now, the point is, each one of them is bad for something in your body, so you might think, therefore, if a person eats them, it's obvious that he's doing it for the refuah purposes. Obviously, for example, he must have a toothache, and that's why he's eating, the toil, even though it's going to hurt his stomach. Or the kashin and the other way around. He must have a stomach, okay? Nevertheless, you're allowed to, because the fact is sometimes people do eat toil and kashin, and even healthy people sometimes eat them. We said kolam mashkin, all kinds of drinks you're allowed to drink. Again, le'isuyim mai. What is that coming to include? Le'isuyim meit slofin b'chomets. It comes to include that you're allowed to drink juice of slash mixed in vinegar. Slaf is a plant. We've learned about it before in Brachas. In English, it's called caperberry. So you can squeeze out a juice from it, or maybe you cook it in water and have a soup or something, and then you mix that with vinegar. Again, it is something that has medicinal properties, but people do also drink it as a regular drink or as a regular soup or whatever. Therefore, you're allowed to drink it on Shabbos. So Ravina asks Rava, what about would you be allowed to drink urine on Shabbos? So he says, listen, we learned in the Mishnah. Kol Mashkin Shoy. So we said any normal drink you're allowed to drink. Normal people do not drink urine. Therefore, it would be the kind of thing that's a medicinal thing, and you're not allowed to on Shabbos. Better question is whether you're allowed to on weekdays. What happened to Baal Shatzu? So actually, the Mordechai says that maybe we're not talking about lachchila, maybe to drink it anyway would be also on the grounds of Balshatu. We're talking about, let's say, for example, some of it accidentally got mixed with food. Or let's say, for example, a person is sick, even cholashein besakana, so he needs to take it. Balshatu is a mitzvah in the Torah. You're not allowed to make yourself disgusting. You're not allowed to do things that the average person would consider disgusting. And drinking urine is an example of that. The shach on your day says, though, maybe not necessarily. Maybe it is more generally mutter. Anyway, but we're saying on Shabbos now. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, chutz mi mei dekodim. We said, except for, you're not allowed to drink on Shabbos, mei dekodim.
Dates?
Literally, dekodim means date palms. We'll explain in a second what it means. So the chutonim, we learn in a price, chutz mi mei dekodim. Except the water of Dekarim. So does that mean the Braisa is just giving us a different version of the word, or does it mean the Braisa is actually telling us a different drink than the Mishnah mentioned? So we'll talk about that. mandatonim made dekorim, the braisa that uses the word dekorim with a resh, calls it that chain dekorim as a mora, because they pierced the mora, the gallbladder. Now, the Gemara mentions in a few, now, obviously, a piercing in the gallbladder is not a good thing, but what it means, in other words, is, the Gemara mentions in a number of places that too much bile in the, too much gall in the gallbladder is bad for a person's health. So like this, it metaphorically puts it as in the sense, like it makes, there'll be less mora, there'll be less bile, which less gall or whatever, which therefore will make the person healthier. So that's why it's called made the kolim, the lashon that. Or mando ama made the kolim, the version of our mission, which calls it made the kolim, the water of palm trees. It's called that sheyotzin min shnei diklim, because it comes out from a spring between two palm trees. So again, some of the Foshim explain that we're actually talking about two different concoctions, that one is talking about a certain mineral water, and the Mishnah is talking about a certain mineral water, and the Braise is talking about some other concoction. And we'll talk about that soon. And then the other way of looking at it is that they're both referring to the same thing and just calling it by two different names. Okay. My major kolim. So why are we calling it major kolim? What does it have to do with palm trees? There's a certain place in Eretz Yisrael where there are two palm trees, and there's a spring of water that comes out between them, and apparently it's mineral water. The first cup you drink of this water will help loosen up your bowels. Idach mishalsho, you take a second cup and it'll make them very diarrheic. The idach, and then if he drinks a third cup, it'll have so much effect, it'll clean him out so completely. It'll come out from him at the other end, the same color as it went in. In other words, between the effect of the three cups, it cleans him out completely. There's no waste left in his body, so therefore it comes out as clear as it went in. That's major color. Ula says, Ula says, I've drunk beer from Babel, and it's more effective even than it's made to call it. Ula himself was from Eretz Yisrael, so he knew where that spring was, and I guess he tried it. But then he also used to regularly travel between Eretz Yisrael and Babel. We see many times in the Gemara that he would bring to Babel halachas that they learned, halachas and things that they said in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so I guess he tried both, and he says that the beer is actually even more effective than the made to call it. However, the Gemara says, that's only that the beer only works, the beer from Babel only works if a person hasn't gotten used to drinking it for 40 days. After that, then it doesn't have such an effect on it. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Omer Zisum HaMitzri. Rabbi Yosef says, Zisum HaMitzri. Now, what does Rabbi Yosef mean by that? Rashi explains, Rabbi Yosef is giving a different definition of major kodim. In other words, up until now, we've been assuming that made the kol lim and made the kol rim are the same thing. There's two different names for the same thing, and it's called made the kol lim because it comes from a spring between two palm trees. Now, Rashi is explaining that Rabbi Yosef is giving a different definition of made the kol rim. He's saying that the made the kol lim of our Mishnah, fine, is that mineral spring between the two palm trees, but made the kol rim that it mentioned in the Braisa, that you're not allowed to drink on Shabbos, is something else called zisum ha-mitzri. Zisum means is a kind of beer made in Mitzrayim. Tosfos doesn't like that, because what is Zisum HaMitzri doing over here? You're allowed to drink Zisum HaMitzri on Shabbos. It's something that healthy people drink as well. Then Tosfos says, okay, maybe what it is Rabbi Yosef is not referring back to, maybe Rabbi Yosef is not referring back to the major kolim of the Braisa, but rather he's referring back to what Ula is saying. Ula is saying that beer from Babel is even more effective than the major kolim. Rabbi Yosef wants you to know Zisum HaMitzri is even more effective than that. Okay, what is Zisum HaMitzri? Tlosa Sairi, it's made one third from barley, or Tlosa Kurtmi, one third saffron, or Tilta Milcha, and one third salt. So you mix all that together and you brew it and you make a kind of beer out of it. The Gemara mentions it at the beginning of the third paragraph of Pesach, and that's one of the things you have to get rid of from your house before Pesach because it's chametz, because of the barley. Rav Papa says the recipe is a little bit different. Tlos tilta chiti, instead of one third barley, you have to have one third wheat, or tlosa kurt, or tilta kurtmi, and one third saffron, the tilta milcha, the kamona, and one third of salt. The kamona we take out, it's not in the Gemara and Pesachim either. The simonach, the way the simon to remember which one said which, is the word sisoni. The word sisoni means, Rashi explains, is a keli into which they put dates. The Aramaic word for it is sison. So it helps you remember that Rabbi Yosef, whose name contains a samach, said sa'ari, which contains a sin, which has the same sound. So the word sisoni will help you remember that. And then by elimination, you'll know that a papa instead said wheat. Okay. So the Gemara says, v'shosilu ben divchala atzauta. What you do with this zisim amitzvi, you drink it between Pesach and Shavuos. In general, the Gemara later on in the Masechta mentions that in general, medicinal drinks are best and most effective during that time of year between Pesach and Shavuos. Al pichsidus, it becomes a little easier to understand. A gashmius, if a sickness represents, there's something beruchnius that needs to be dealt with also, each person on their own level. And between Pesach and Shavuos is the time of year when we're dealing with getting rid of the ra and transforming it into good, and therefore that's the time when medicines are most effective. And that's also related to, we always say, year is ani Hashem reifecha, so that's year is that time of year. Okay. So b'shosilu ben divchavat sarja, so you drink it between Pesach and Shavuos. The komit mirapule, and this disima mitzri has the effect. If a person is constipated, then it helps loosen them up. Or the rafi komitle, and if a person is too diarrheic, then it helps bind them up, and it does both. Yeah, you have a number of medicines that do like that, that have opposite effects, depending on what situation you're in. Okay. Then we set in the mission of a kois ikrin. Another thing you're not allowed to drink on Shabbos is kois ikrin, means a cup of roots. So that means that they take certain kinds of roots, as we're going to talk about now, various kinds of roots and various kinds of ingredients, and make a drink out of them, make a medicinal drink out of them. So my kois ikrin. So what is a kois ikrin? Amar Rav Yechanan, leisi maskel zuza koima Alexandria. Take a zuza's weight of gum from Alexandria, gum from a certain kind of tree that grows in what?
I born in Alexandria.
You're born in Alexandria. Interesting. Okay. Okay. So then I guess you're familiar with. Okay. So they have trees around there that produce some kind of gum, some kind of resin, which you take. You start with that. Umasko zuzia gavya gila. You also take a zuz's weight of gavya gila. Rashi translates it by a word alum, which in English is also. It's an alum is a mineral that it contains aluminum and sulfur and various other calcium, I think, whatever. It's among other things, they use it even to a limited extent in medicine nowadays. It helps stop bleeding. It helps shrink blood vessels and therefore stop bleeding. So here you're using that as part of the concoction as well. Umaskel zuza kurka marishka. And also a zuz's weight of garden saffron, in other words, as opposed to wild saffron. V'lishchakinu b'hadi adori, you grind up all these ingredients together, and then as follows: lazava, if you're using it to heal a zava, a woman who's having overmuch bleeding outside of her regular nida time, plus a b'chamra, what you do is you give her all three ingredients mixed with wine, v'loy me'akra. And it won't have the effect of also making her sterile. As opposed to liyakona, if a person has jaundice, train b'shichra, instead you use two of these ingredients, perhaps any two, in beer, uma'akra, but it also has the side effect that it makes the person sterile. So we're going to deal with on Omid Beis, which we'll probably get to tomorrow, Beis Hashem, how are you allowed to do that? How would you be allowed to give a person a sterilizing potion when we know that there's an issue in the Torah of Sirus? So we'll deal with that. Yeah, they're sterile means they won't be able to have children. So for a zava, you give her all three ingredients in wine, it won't have that effect. So no problem. You're able to give it to her. But for a person who has jaundice, if you give him the concoction, it'll also have the side effect of making him unable to have children. I once saw a very interesting vote on this. You have in Parashas Vayechi, Yaakov says to Yosef, I never imagined I would see your face. The king, now Hashem showed me also your children. So Mam Lawyers brings a vote. I don't remember what his marker is. Like this. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that when a person is involved in Averus of Znus, it's one of the things that can cause him Yerokin, that can cause him jaundice. Now we're saying in the Gemara over here, the cure for jaundice is a kos shalichrin. The problem is it makes the person infertile. So Yaakov says to Yosef, I never expected, you're living in Mitzrayim, Erva Sa'oretz, that you would have stayed to her. I expected, if I ever see you again, I'm going to see that you have Yerokin, because of the Averus that you'll have been involved in. Then I figured, okay, even if I don't, because you'll have taken a close children, but you won't have children either. Now I see your face without Yerokin, and I see you have children, so now I know you weren't involved in any of the Erva Sa'oretz and Mitzrayim in the first place. Yerokin is jaundice.
But
What is
bronze? So it's when a person's skin turns yellow. So we're saying for a zava, what you do is you mix all three ingredients in wine and you give it to her to drink, and it'll cure her without making her sterile. But the eloi, if not, meaning if you tried and it didn't work, or if you don't have the ingredients, lacy plosa kapizi, what you do is you take three kapizas. We've learned before that a kapiza is three lugim, three quarters of a kav. So three kapizi, which is three kapizi, then would be two and a quarter kavim. Shamchi parsoi of Persian onions, which are large, Rashi says. Vinishlek b'chamra, cook them up in wine. Vinishia, give it to her to drink. Vinemala, and tell her kum mizoiva, stop your ziva. It's a lahash, in other words, but the treatment together with that. The eloi, and if not, the Gemara is going to go through many different possible treatments for it. And again, obviously, there are ruchniistic things behind this, which we don't fully understand. One thing is that the Rebbe talks about in a hadron on the Masechta Nida, which is also a hadron on the whole Shas, that the idea is Nida, after all, is a normal physiological thing. A woman bleeds every month. That's a normal thing ever since Chava. As opposed to Ziva implies that there's some kind of, the fact that there's the extra bleeding implies that there's some kind of sickness. And again, it means that there's some kind of extra tumor in there that needs to be gotten out. And therefore, I guess all of these treatments that the Gemara is mentioning are some metaphors for how to get rid of that extra tumor that you had. Anyway, of the Eloi, if not, Loisva Parshas Drachim, have her sit by a crossroads, the Limkata Kosa the Chamra Biyada, have her hold a cup of wine in her hand, the Laysa Inishma Achorda Vilivasa, a person should sneak up behind her and scare her, the Laymala Kumizoiva can tell her, stop your ziva. I guess it's sort of like they do sometimes when a person has hiccups when you scare them, maybe it's the same idea, I don't know. Okay. The Eloi, if not, Lase buna de kamona, take a handful, a fistful, whatever Rashi says, of kamon, cumin as a spice, ubuna de murika, a fistful of saffron, ubuna de shablilta, and a fistful of tiltan, of chilva that we talked about yesterday, that stuff they use in Middle Eastern cooking, venishlet v'chamra. Cook all of that together in wine, v'nishkia, give it to her to drink, v'nemala kum mizoiva, and tell her, stop your ziva. The eloi, if not, you need to now start bringing out the heavier guns, lacy shisin shir dadana, take 60 stoppers of wine barrels, 60 again is not necessarily dark to 60, it just means a very large number, v'lashakia, rub it on her skin. Rashi explains, what you do is you take these stoppers, you soak them in water to start dissolving them in a little bit. The stoppers were made out of clay, but they weren't made out of fired clay like the rest of the barrel. They were made out of unfired clay, or they were made out of something softer or whatever. So therefore, you take them, you soak them in water to start dissolving them, and then you rub that on her. The leimalok kumizoiva can tell her stop your ziva. The eloi, if not, lacy pashtina, take some pashtina, which Rashi says means it's a kind of grass, a kind of herb that doesn't grow tall, it just grows wide, it grows along the ground. Yeah, you know, like this regular grass that we're familiar with grows in blades vertically. So this is some kind that grows horizontally along the ground. Next to the water, maybe, but whatever. It could be something like ivy. It could be, I don't know. On the side of it, here it brings from the Oruch, a different girsa, that it means a kind of grass which is not thick, but rather is wide. It has wide leaves, I guess. Okay, whatever it is, you take that. Vilishlek b'chamra, cook it in wine. Vilishafya, rub it on her skin. V'neimala kumizoiva chanteller, stop your ziva. V'iloi, if not, leise chaunuga, take some chaunuga, which is another kind of grass, the Higsa Rumisa, which grows near the Rumis thorn bushes. Rumis Papachus means that they're native to Rome, or at least they grow in that area or whatever. Although there are Achronim who say that there was actually a city in Eretz Yisrael called Rumi also, so it could be they grow there also. Anyway, whatever it is, so you have some kind of thorn bush that's a Roman thorn bush, and then you have near it there grows a plant called Chanuga. So you take that Chanuga. The likli, you take some of that grass and burn it. The lispa b'shachki de kitna, and the lispa, and then you wrap it up. b'shachti de kitna b'kaita, in worn out cotton clothing during the summer, or b'shachti de ama gufa kitna means flax, so linen, so in worn out linen cloth during the summer, or b'shachti de ama gufna b'sitva, or during the winter, if this is going on during the winter, then instead you wrap up the ashes in a worn out cotton cloth. And then apparently what you do is you have her and then you have her wear it apparently. The Eloi, if not, Lichli Sheva Biri, what you do is dig 7 holes in the ground, the Lichli Bahu Shabishta Yalda Da Urla, burn in them a branch from a young Urla tree, a tree that's within 3 years of its planting. So you take branches from it and burn it and put some of the ashes in each of the holes. The linka to kosa de chamra biyada. She should hold a cup of wine in her hand. The loikma meha the loisvaha. Then what she should do is, she should start by getting up from, you have her sit on top of, above one hole. Then she goes and moves and then walks over and sits down on top of the second hole and so forth. And each one of them, you tell her, stop your ziva. The Eloi, if that doesn't work either, Lacey Smida, take fine flour, the Lischam Ipaugal Natachoi, anoint her with it, from the middle to the bottom, so from her waist down to her toes, I guess. V'leimala kum mizoyvach, and tell her, stop your ziva. The Eloi, and if not, leisi beyasa denamisa, take an ostrich egg, the likli, burn it, the lispa, and wrap it up, again, v'shachke de kitna b'kaita, if it's during the summertime, wrap it up in worn-out linen cloths, or v'shachke de amagufa b'sitva, or if it's during winter, wrap it up in worn-out cotton cloths. And I guess, again, she wears it. The Eloi, if that's still not working, lift up la chavisa de chamir l'shma, open up a barrel of wine in her name, which means, in other words, let her drink a lot of wine, and that'll help. The Eloi, and if not, limket sa'arta de mishtachas be kafusa de kudna chivra, she should take a barley grain that was found in the waste of a white donkey. So you have a white donkey eats grain. Some of it excretes, and some of them, sometimes you have a whole grains left in it. You actually have a story. You have a story in the Gemara in Ksuvos where Nachdimin Ben Gurion's daughter, after the Churban, the family had lost all their wealth in the Churban, and now she's reduced to picking out like that, finding grain in the waste of the animals over there, and living off that. She had been a rich woman. She had been, the Gemara mentions over there, she had her silver with like a million gold dinars or something, and she said the problem was, even though her father was a Baal Chesed, he wasn't as much as he should have been. Compared to the amount of wealth he had, he didn't give as much tzedakah as he should have, and therefore all his wealth was lost. But, so here we have, so here similarly, so you take this grain, you take this barley that's found in the waste of a white donkey, and then like this, e nokta chad yoima, if she holds on to it for one day, poska treyomi, then that'll have the effect of stopping her ziva for 2 days. Rashi brings another girsa, if she holds one such grain, so then it'll stop it for 2 days. V'inokta treyomi poska plosiyomi, if she holds on to it for 2 days straight, or she holds two such grains, then it'll stop her ziva for 3 days. V'inokta plosiyomi, and if she holds it for 3 days straight, or she holds three grains, poska la'olam, then it'll stop the ziva forever. So altogether, we have 12 different ways of stopping her ziva. Okay. So, yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay. and again, given that we're saying that ziva represents that a person has like too much truma in them or whatever, maybe, for example, I mean, this last one is, you know, maybe the last straw is, you know, the person has to just remind themselves, you know what, I mean, the whole olam hazeh, all the gashmius of the world, and all of the you know, all the pleasures and all the koichas ha-truma and whatever, are all so much waste. You have the expression chassidus, right, that all of gashmius is waste from the chayis ha-koichas. So maybe this is meant to represent that idea. I don't know. Okay. Liyau koina, then we said if a person is suffering from jaundice, train b'shichra umi'akar, we said you mix 2 of the ingredients we said before into beer, and you give it to him to drink, but the problem is it will have the side effect of making him sterile. So the Eloi, if not, if you don't have it, or you tried it and it didn't work, so now the poor guy's sterile and he still has jaundice, So what do? Leisi reisha de shibuta de milcha. Take a head of a shibuta as a kind of fish that was salted. Velishlek b'shichra. Cook it in beer. Velishli, and you should drink that. The eloi, and if not, leisi munini de kansi. He should take juice of chagovim, of kosher grasshoppers. You have the juice that exudes from them when you're pickling them or whatever. The elect munini de kansi. If you don't have juice from locusts available, leisi munini de nekiri. Then instead you take tzir from a kind of small birds. That again were pickled, that again were shechted and pickled. The Ayla the Bait Bunny, you bring the person into the bathhouse where it's hot, the Lishafye, and you rub him with that concoction, you rub him with that sear, and that should help. The Eleka Bait Bunny, if you don't have a bathhouse available, Loik may be in Tanura Laguda, then have him stand between the oven and the wall, which is also a hot area, and the idea is this way he'll sweat, and this way the combination of the sweating and the sear that you're smearing on him should help. Rabbi Yechanan says, if you want to warm up this guy and help him sweat and get rid of the disease, you can wrap him up well in a blanket. Usually means to wipe, meloshin kinoach. But over here, Rashi translates it as you wrap him up in a blanket. Wrap him up in a blanket, in his own blanket, or a blanket that somebody else who suffered from this disease had before, and that should help. So the Gemara tells Rab Acha bar Yosef one time suffered from jaundice. Ovid le Rav Kahana v'itzi. Rav Kahana did that for him by wrapping him in a blanket that had previously been used by him or by somebody else. Rav Yerokin v'itzi, and he was healed. The Eloi, and if not, leisi plosa kapizi tamri parsiyosa. Take three kapiza, again would be a couple of the two and a quarter cabin of Persian dates. Or tlos a kapizi dekira, and three dekira dinishtirupi, and three kapiza of wax that overflowed from a honey from a hive. So you have the bees make wax and make honey in their hive, and sometimes you have it overflows. They produce too much honey and too much wax. So you want some of that wax that overflowed. Or tlos a kapizi ohala terlana, and three kapizas of red. Ohala is aloe, because it was plants. Will the shlakina b'shichra cook them all together?
Wine.
Yeah, cook them all together in beer. Actually, the shlakina b'shichra cook them up in beer. The lishti, and then he should drink it. The eloi, if that didn't help, lacy ilo bar chamra. He should take a young donkey. Then what he should do is the sick person should shave the middle of his head, so he has like a reverse mohawk kind of a stripe down the middle of his head, I guess. You should take the young donkey and let some blood from its forehead, the and put that blood on the sick person's head. But you have to be careful that the blood doesn't get into his eyes, that it shouldn't make him blind. The Eloi, and if not, Lacy Resha de Barcha, take the head of a ram, the manach the kivsha, that was pickled in vinegar or tzir or what have you, the lishlik b'shichra, boil that up in beer, the lishli, and the person should drink it.
How they know all this medicine? How they know it? How they have the second to make this and this and this?
I mean, ultimately, Soyd Hashem Lireya, right? Hashem gives the secret to those who fear him. The Gemara wanted to write this for us. Obviously, the Gemara felt it's important for us to know. Yeah. Back when they were actually able to do these remedies and they could actually try them. Nowadays, that we can't, then we see what we can figure of what they mean. The Eloi, Leisi Dover Acher Chutrona. If not, then you take a Dover Acher, a pig that has spots on its body. The Likare, tear it open. The Lois Vealibe, and put it on the chest of the person who has this jaundice. The Eloi, and if not, Leisi Kauti Machvesusa. If Leisi Kauti, take a leek Mikabsusa de Mishri. From the middle of the plot where you grow them, because the ones in the middle, Rashi explains, are sharper. They have more potency. And I guess you have the guy eat it or something. So the Gemara tells, Hahu Taya D'choshve, there was once an Arab who had this problem of he had this sickness of Yerokin. Amalei L'ginoi, so he says to a gardener, Shkul Gimoi, take, I want to buy one of your vegetables from you. I don't have any money with me. Take my cloak, the Havli Meshwe, the county, and give me a plot of leeks, because I want to eat them. Yohiv Leiva. Plus, so the gardener took the cloak and gave the Arab the leeks, and he ate them. Then Amalei Oishlam Glimach. Then the Arab says to the gardener, "Lend me your cloak, namely the same cloak that I just sold you for the leeks. Lend it back to me. The Igne Vekali. I want to lie down on it a little bit and go ahead and take a nap." Ichrech Gonabei. So he wrapped himself up and went to sleep. Kad Ichamim Bekam, and he got so heated up from having eaten the leeks and from being wrapped in the garment over there, become. So then when he got up, Nafa Puta Putamine, the garment fell off of him in pieces because it had been burnt up by the heat of the, it had been burnt up by the heat of the sickness as it left him. So like now the poor gardener ends up without his vegetables and without the glimmer because now it got burnt. So, but the Arab was healed, from his yerokin. Goes to show, in other words, you know, be careful about who you make deals with. You know, you try to give them land for peace, and you end up with no land and no peace. So you know, you end up with pieces, yeah. As the usual expression goes. All right. Shukriya, everyone.